So Canadian coach John Herdman created a media firestorm last week. I think that's a fair word to describe what went down when he said that Canada was going to F Croatia up following their loss to Belgium. We know how that played out. But for the American team, they play Iran today at 2 p.m. You could hear it on TSN 1050. They've got issues of their own. And a man who can explain this very delicate and somewhat confusing situation a lot better than I can or you can, Coco, is our next guest. It is Stephen Goff, who covers soccer for the Washington Post. And he joins us now live from Qatar. Good morning, Stephen. Well, good morning for us. Good afternoon for you. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. So the Canadian controversy, as you can imagine, we talked about that extensively throughout the course of the week, into the weekend. Yeah. And the one that's going on with the United States team is very different. It's one that was created by the U.S. Soccer Federation, not by any players or coaches. Yep. Can you take us through exactly everything that's surrounding this team heading into a do-or-die situation today against Iran?
Yeah, I mean, the backdrop to this World Cup has been teams, some teams, showing their support for workers' rights here in Qatar, for LGBTQ individuals, in Qatar in the Middle East. So that's your starting point. The U.S. has been kind of subtle in their support. They put up rainbow elements in their media room, at their training grounds, and at their hotel. They're not allowed to do it in official FIFA spaces, but they can do it in those places. And the next step they took was in the build-up to this Iran game. They changed the emblem, the flag of Iran, removing some elements from it, the Islamic Republic part in the middle of the flag. They left the colors, and they did it in support of women's rights. Now, certainly women's rights and human rights have been at the forefront of the news in Iran recently, and so this was their action. But what it did was it certainly caused a stir in some circles of Iran and caught the attention of a lot of people here in Qatar. The Iranians wanted the U.S. kicked out of the World Cup. They asked FIFA to do that. FIFA has not commented on it, and they didn't take it seriously. But certainly it brought attention to things outside of soccer. And, it's almost like you're poking a bear here. The Iranians perhaps will use this as further motivation. Not that they didn't have motivation in the first place, because it's U.S.-Iran, and there's a place in the round of 16 at stake. The U.S. backtracked. They deleted those social media accounts of the altered flag, and they also said they wouldn't do it any further. Yesterday's press conferences, U.S. coach, U.S. captain were put in a difficult situation by their own federation, but they had to answer questions about this. And so that's where we are heading into the game. But this is what happens at a World Cup. There's all kinds of side issues, and as we saw with Canada and Croatia, it surfaces time and time again.
Yeah, and the Canadian-Croatia debate controversy, there's a lot less at stake with regards to that than there is with what's going on. Now, this is like a geopolitical, far-ranging, very significant issue that's going on there. And you say that the Iranian team could use that as motivation. When you say that, do you imply that they would be siding with the Iranian government or the Americans who are supporting the women and the LGBTQ stuff that you mentioned? Like, you think the players are against the support that the Americans gave them, I should say?
Yeah, it's a strange situation because, the Iranian players are representing the Republic of Iran, but they're not necessarily supporting the government.
Right,
of
they
Iran.
Were protesting themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
With the way
exactly.
they were.
Yeah. They didn't sing the anthem
right.
in the first game, and they almost half-heartedly did it in the second game. But certainly, this sport, this competition means so much to the people of Iran. no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. And so, you know, I think they want to represent the people and by extension represent the country. And if this adds to their fire, if this fuels the fire a little bit more, then they will take advantage of it. Their coach, who's Portuguese, kind of put it in perspective. He said, look, if these players aren't already motivated, then nothing else is going to help. So at the end of the day, the teams will take the field, they'll play 90 minutes, and we'll see what happens. There's already plenty at stake.
No doubt. And I think when you compare the two controversies, then I think that's very, very apt, Stephen, when you talk about like what it really means, the implications for the actual on-field performance. Yeah. Who knows? But, you know, Croatia said one thing. I guess we'll find out what happens after the Americans play Iran today. We're in conversation with Stephen Goff, Washington Post soccer insider.
So, Stephen, let's move to soccer. There's a game on the pitch today. It's, you know, a very meaningful one between, you know, last game of the group stage. The Americans are sitting there with two draws, one against Wales and one against the, you know, what look like to be the powerhouse of England. How would you assess where they are right now? Is this where you expected it to be? Have they underachieved considering they should have got a better result against the Welsh? And how do you like their chances of advancing?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, the Wales game, you know, they squandered a late lead by conceding a penalty, settled for a draw. You know, most people thought they would get smacked around by England. They got a point out of it. So that was surprising in a different way. So, you know, the sense was that it would come down to the last game for them one way or another. You know, unfortunately for them, they can't settle for another draw. They've got to win the game. Iran could get through with a draw, but it's not guaranteed. They can't take any chances that, you know, somehow Wales defeats England in the other game being played simultaneously. So, you know, Iran still has much to play for to get a victory, but not just a draw. U.S., it's a very young team. Inexperienced on the international stage. Do they have the fortitude? Do they have the maturity to handle the pressure of this situation and score a goal? They got to score. They got to score a goal to win a game. They only have one goal in this tournament. It was in the opener. They haven't allowed a goal in the run of play. The only goal they allowed was a penalty kick. They've been good defensively. But they, you know, they're going to have to score at least one, maybe two. Can they do it? They've struggled in the attack, not just in this World Cup, but in the build up to the World Cup as well.
Stephen, of course, we've been talking a ton about the Canadian team for many months, if not years, and there was a lot of hype leading into the tournament. That hype was amplified following the Canadian team's performance against Belgium. While in a loss, they outplayed the Belgian team, no doubt. And then Sunday morning happened where Canada scores 2 minutes in and Croatia takes it to them from then on out. What was the reaction to that performance from Canada in Qatar and based on the people you were speaking with and, of course, your own as well?
Yeah, I mean, I actually went to that Canada game and it was a lot of fun to see all that red in the stadium representing Canada. I mean, this is a special time for Canadian soccer, Canadian sports, and Canada in general to be on this world stage after missing the World Cup for so many years. Fantastic start, first goal in World Cup history. Things look good. It was an open game. It favored Canada. They did not get that second goal. And, you know, Croatia's a finalist from 2018. They're so experienced. They have so many big-name players in Europe. And they were finding space in the back against Canada. Giving up that go-ahead goal before halftime really hurt Canada. If it's tied or if they're winning, it's a different story. And then the second half, I think Croatia knew what they were doing. I mean, it was tough from Canada from the start. They're playing two huge teams, you know, Belgium and Croatia. You know, you're hoping for the best. They certainly could have won that opener. Now they're out, which is too bad. But they made they made strides in this sport over the last year, and I think it's a lot of good things to come from Canadian soccer heading into international competitions, including the next World Cup.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So thank you so much for doing this for us, Stephen. Four games today: Netherlands, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal. Those games at 10 a.m., Iran versus the United States, and Wales versus England at 2. Appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you. That is Stephen Goff from the Washington Post. We didn't talk about Ronaldo's fake goal yesterday. Did you see that? Celebrating like he scored the most magnificent goal in World Cup history. And
it's debatable.
He didn't touch it.
I mean, there's an argument for both ways. Argument he did touch, and argument he didn't touch.
Okay, let's just say, like, I guess you can make an argument both ways, but it wasn't definitive. Like, you know, 100%. In the NHL, when you have a deflection in front, right, there's a puck that comes in from the point, you're not, oh, was that deflected? And sometimes, you know, the forward would point to the defenseman, and, you know, just like, no, no, that was yours.
He was
Ronaldo
not, he
was like,
was
no, 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 that's me. That's me. That's
well,
my
yeah,
goal.
Because even
guy was so horny for the goal.
Even after the celebration in the corner, there, he was talking to one of his teammates, and it looked like they were talking about who scored the goal. He was taking ownership. He's like, no, 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 I touched it.
It's like, sorry, Bruno Fernandez.
He's
it's
like,
mine.
Don't even think about it, dude. This is me. This is my team. This is my goal. Don't even think about it. And then clearly FIFA overturned it and gave it to him.
Well, and that's it, right? Because, you know, there's reviews. Like, there's cameras there, Ronaldo. You can tell who actually deflected it. It's not the 1970s where there's no instant replay. So that's kind of a tough look on Ronaldo. Yeah. I mean, he just really wanted to be credited with the goal.
And to think, too, they subbed him out of the game and they got a penalty kick. Early into extra time, and that would be Ronaldo's kick, right? And Bruno Fernandes ends up being the guy that kicks it as well too. And Portugal looked impressive yesterday, man. They looked really, really good. They dictated most of that game, but I know it was only a 1-0 game, but if you watch that Brazil-Switzerland game, I don't know how anybody stops Brazil.
They're nasty, and they don't allow anything. They haven't allowed a shot on goal.
In two straight games.
In two straight games. That hasn't happened since, like, 1966 or something. Like,
their ball possession and their pace that they play with, that goal they scored yesterday was literally one touch, two touch into the back of the net. And they even had a goal call back on them, too. Based on all the teams that I've watched, they hands down look like the most impressive team. I don't know how anybody stops Brazil.
Yep, they're a powerhouse.
And they played without Neymar yesterday.
They're a powerhouse, and we'll see what his status is going for. Yeah. He's got the ankle. We'll tell you what happened last night in the world of sports. The First Up scoreboard coming up. We'll talk to Todd Crocker, who called the Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings last night. We'll fill you in on the Raptors. An extremely impressive defensive performance against the Cleveland Cavaliers. All that coming up on First Up.